The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
A kind of interesting day in the baseball world, and it's not necessarily for what's going on the field for the Diamondbacks, but more so off the field for the Diamondbacks. I'm Steve Zinsmeister, that's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well on the Ain't No Fang podcast. We'll get to the stuff with the team here in a second, but let's start with the latest big news out of Major League Baseball. And this, for some reason to me, just feels bigger than it probably is in the moment.
You're probably right about that.
But the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have essentially released, they've DFA'd Albert Pujols, future Hall of Famer, longtime Cardinal.
Very rich man.
Very, very rich man.
So rich.
41-year-old, 20 years in the league.
1 year older than me, and here we are talking about him being just done with his
career.
Well,
he has athletic gifts.
Right.
And, you know.
Don't.
You.
I couldn't hit 198.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I'm trying to figure out, because Albert Pujols hasn't been a good baseball player in 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. Yeah, it's been a while. I don't know what his value is anymore, so I understand them getting rid of him, especially in a time when the Angels have such great players that they're building around. I mean, even Justin Upton is still relevant to that team, but Shohei Ohtani is having a miraculous season like no one's ever seen. Mike Trout has been the best player in baseball for a decade. They're two of the top, probably three MVP candidates.
Anthony Rendon is in Anaheim.
He's great,
Anaheim.
Too.
He's really good.
So if they could just find some pitching, this is all of a sudden this is a great team.
The Angels, every year, they're like, look at this fancy hitter we got. I'm like, but you need pitching. But look, it's Justin Upton.
Well,
it's
that's why
Anthony
they have Ohtani.
Rendon. So they got a hitter that can also pitch.
Yeah, they didn't go get a pitcher. They just made one of their hitters pitch.
Here's the thing. According to a source, he was upset that he wasn't in the lineup to face Rays bulk left-hand pitcher Ryan Yarbrough last night.
So, Pujols was upset?
So they DFA'd him?
Pujols was upset, yeah. I think there's a thought process there, right? There's a lack of seeing the bigger picture. There's a lack of seeing your current situation, and that there's guys probably hitting better than you that can be in the lineup and be more effective at getting the team a win. There's a team member kind of caliber there. There's a lack of being a good teammate and just accepting whatever role. At this point in your career, you are just stealing money from an organization. So you should just be happy and be go on the bench and sit there. That's the way I see it. I understand he's a competitor. I understand he's an athlete. I understand he feels like he still has a lot to give. That's the difficulty here. I can't blame him for being upset about not being in the lineup and wanting to play. You know, I can just understand from a team perspective how they would be kind of sick of this at this point, and they would rather just part ways rather than deal with what could be, you know, a bad situation in their clubhouse.
What I've seen reportedly, there is interest already in Albert Pujols' services. So one report suggested the Chicago White Sox, an American League team that could use him as a DH. His guy is Tony La Russa, the manager who managed him in St. Louis for a lot of that time, if not all of that time. They just had Luis Robert go down. Eloy Jimenez is missing the whole season. They're a competitive team, and they need some bats. So maybe the White Sox are an option. I also saw Jim Bowden tweeted. I don't know if he has sources on this or if he was just guessing, but he said the Oakland Athletics would be the number one fit for him. It's an American League team, so maybe. And then the last suggestion is it's always possible the St. Louis Cardinals could want to bring him back and just kind of retire him as a Cardinal.
They have to give us Paul Goldschmidt back, just saying.
Yeah, in like 2 years. Yeah. They can keep him, but we just want him back in this final year of his contract.
I'm just looking at Albert Pujols' stats, and he hasn't been good since 2016. In 2016, he hit .268, hit 31 home runs, drove in 119 runs.
Sure. That's good.
And then he hasn't hit over .245 since then.
Well, and also, too, if you look at his career, he's spent almost...
And he can't play defense anymore.
He has spent almost equal time in L.A. as he has in St. Louis. I think it's 11 and 10 years, respectively. But about the same amount of years.
10 and 10, actually.
About the same amount of years. But he has half the home run total in L.A. that he had in St. Louis. When he went to St. Louis, it felt like a precipitous drop just immediately. Like he was nowhere near as good of a player as he was in St. Louis, as he, or in L.A., as he was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Is he, because he came around, I think 2001, right?
2001 was his rookie year.
2001?
Because
then...
he came around at the beginning of this century, is he the greatest hitter of this century?
Yes. I'll say that because of the fact that he's the only player in MLB history with 3,000 hits, 600 home runs, and more than one World Series title.
Who else makes that conversation? Ichiro, who came in 2001, but he's a totally different ball player.
That's tough.
Barry Bonds was amazing at the beginning of this century, but only for the first five, 6 years.
When did he retire?
2008?
Eight, okay. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think Ken Griffey Jr., but he had some good years before 2000.
A-Rod? Of this century, yeah, it's Albert Pujols.
Because all of that
it's
happened.
Albert Pujols.
All of his accomplishments happened in, you know, in the 2000s.
Right. 2000, yeah.
A-Rod would be up there. Manny Ramirez would be up there, but they both had really good years in the 90s, too.
David Ortiz. He's
David
more
Ortiz.
Home run hitter.
Yeah.
But
Ortiz would probably
Ortiz was around
there.
In the late 90s, but he took his, off with the Red
his
Sox.
His formidable and, years were yeah. in the 2000s. So I would put him up there, I think.
Jeter? Jeter's not the hitter. Yeah. He had the whole package, but he's not the hitter.
Jeter was a star in 96, so.
I feel like I'm missing obvious. Yeah. I mean, Mike Trout, right?
Yeah.
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 His teammate. I think Trout is obviously the better player.
I think Mike Trout has been better consistently longer than Pujols has.
I think that's fair.
I think the difference is there was a lot of years there where he was just really, really good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just
he's
interesting.
He's had a good career, though. I think, and he'll still have value for a team. I think the White Sox are an interesting potential landing spot because of the, again, they're kind of like the D-backs in the mix of, they have a lot of young talent, and if you can bring someone on like him that can almost be like another hitting coach, you know, in their clubhouse.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of when the Texas Rangers brought in Omar Vizquel when he was over 40.
Yeah.
Just solely so that he could teach Elvis Andrews how to play the position of shortstop. Like, that's all they cared about.
And he became very good at it, too.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much longer Albert Pujols is going to want to play. He's only 33 home runs away from 700. That seems like a long shot to me.
Do you think that's a number that he would want to reach? I mean, obviously, he would love to reach 700. I'm not saying that he wouldn't, but do you think that's something that drives a player this late in their career?
I don't know anymore. So. Maybe when, you know, back then when the home run chase was happening in the steroid era, maybe like back then. But so much now, I think probably the 3,000 hits might mean more to him.
Yes, I think 3,000 hits definitely
and a World
means
Series.
More. Championships mean more. I think a 3,000 hits is just because for players, they know how valuable a single can be, right? Home runs are flashy. They're sexy. It's what we all dig.
I think we like home runs. But
it's also like we like round numbers. We have the obsession with him reaching 700. I think if anything, he would be maybe more obsessed about reaching a certain person on the list and passing them as far as the all-time home run list. I think that would be an honor to him.
Where is he? Is he fourth? Did I make that up?
I don't
on the all-time
know.
Home run list, he's got close to 670 by now. I think he's in the 660s or 670s. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw out a statistic none of us knew the answer to. But
all right, let's see. Yeah, he's fifth behind A-Rod.
He's fifth. Okay, A-Rod's ahead.
A-Rod, the Babe.
Okay, so how many does A-Rod have?
Hank, and then.
Sorry, you don't have that in front of you?
Well, no, they're just showing me pictures.
It's Barry,
Barry
Bonds.
696.
Yeah, this literally what Baseball Reference does.
They just give you pictures of them?
Yeah. Oh, Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, A-Rod, Albert Pujols.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, yeah, he would need to reach basically 700 in order to pass A-Rod.
Right.
A-Rod has 696. Babe Ruth, 714.
Do you guys
Hank
remember,
Aaron,
this would have been roughly 10 years ago, when he was chasing 500, because you know how 500 is like that magical number where like
that's your Hall of Fame number.
You could have like 499 home runs, and we're all like, we gotta debate it.
But it's not good enough, Albert.
We're not sure. We're not sure if you're a Hall of Famer, Fred McGriff. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you hit 500, and it's like, well, he hit 500 home runs. He's in the Hall of Fame.
It's like when a pitcher
wins his 300th game. It's like an automatic stamp on your resume. Like,
which will never happen ever again.
I don't think it will. Pitchers, I mean, if Jacob DeGrom didn't play on the Mets, it might happen. But, right. I mean.
Do you remember when he was chasing 500? I feel like this was a big moment, but he was stuck at 499 for like weeks.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get one out of the park. I feel like that was a big thing in my head, maybe, but I don't know if other people were paying attention to that. But it felt like that.
The bigger thing here is I feel like Pujols got shopped around and everybody was like,
nah,
we're good.
Nah.
Of course not. Like,
you take him.
What is he making this year? Like, he's got to be making a ridiculous amount of money.
$25 million, probably? I mean, his contract was 257 over 10, I think. So, like, 25-ish.
We keep asking these questions that we don't
know
the answer to.
You know,
so
they always can change the amount per year. Sure. And I'm sure his...
Well, and the Cardinals probably paid him out, right?
Yeah.
It's not like the next team that he signs with will owe him $25 million.
He's making $30 million this year. $30
million. What a steal.
So much money.
In the final year, and this is the final year, so that's obviously why they could.
If I made $30 million in 1 year, I'd never do this podcast again.
Well, we know that to be true.
Well, you know what?
I think if you found a $5 bill on the ground on the way into the studio, you probably
would. Oh, sweet.
Show up.
I'm going to McDonald's.
I got lunch money. I'm good.
I'm out of here.
All right. So Albert Pujols apparently available. By the time this podcast hits the website, he'll probably already be on another team that we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that could happen. Let's move to some Diamondbacks roster news. They did get Joaquin Soria back for the first time this season. Not impressive so far. Along with that, Merrill Kelly heads to the injured list, although we're not convinced it's an injury at all. It could be COVID-related.
Yeah.
It's a short-term injury list.
Torey Lovello said the other day that they expect him to start this weekend, so it's not clear. They're not saying what he's on the list for, but I mean, you could speculate that if they're expecting him to start this weekend, it's probably not that he has COVID or had tested positive. He could have gotten the vaccine and had a little bit of side effects from it, like
give
most people have.
Off.
Like Kevin Gausman of the Giants was placed on the injured list because he had side effects from the COVID-19 vaccine.
That
so
makes sense.
It could be that. Don't want to speculate that's what it is, but who knows?
You give him a couple days off, and then by putting him on the injured list, you get to bring in another fresh arm.
Right.
So that doesn't hurt,
right.
I guess. Additionally, Christian Walker is back, and additionally to that too, Tim LeCastro is back as well. So team starting to get more and more healthy. Still no signs from Ketel Marte though.
Yeah, that's still interesting, and I think it's mostly because they're on the road. Ketel Marte had joined the team back at the stadium and was doing like running drills and things like that to try to get loosened up, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think the Diamondbacks have been very tight-lipped about a lot of their injuries and a lot of their absences. It's fine, but you know, like in the case of Marte, I think it's just a matter of them giving him as much time as he needs. Again, Torey couldn't really answer the question if they would have rushed some of these guys, you know, coming back if the team hadn't been doing so well over that stretch. But you know, he pretty much stuck to, you know, we would be doing the same thing. So I don't think Marte being gone extra long is just them being accepting that they're doing well without him. I really think that, you know, they would take him back. Well, no, I just mean
taking
their time. Taking their time getting him
back. Yeah, that's fair.
Because they did not seem like they took their time with Gallen. Gallen, considering the injury, seemed like he came back pretty quickly.
Well, and Calhoun came back. Not that we thought it was too quick, but Calhoun came back and then not re-aggravated, but got injured again, essentially.
He had part of his hamstring ligament just removed from his body.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No.
That sounds awful.
It really does. I think the question came up several times, like, is this more serious, or is this as serious as it sounds? Or, like, basically, Torey was like, no, it's fine. You're fine.
It's the ligament they remove when they do ACL reconstruction.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I've heard.
And then they put it in your arm.
Yeah, they remove it because it's the same kind of tendon.
Yeah.
So they remove it from your hamstring and they put it in your knee to reconstruct your ACL. It's really weird.
So are they, do they keep it in a jar in case he needs it later?
for an ACL reconstruction.
Do they put it on ice?
A little cooler, like that one?
We'll save this for later.
Don't put your sandwich in there. There's Cole Calhoun's. Honey, my hamstring is in the freezer. Just move it aside.
Don't look at it. Don't look it in the eye.
That's a gross
You know, it's
idea.
Funny. I've been mentioning the schedule the last couple of podcasts, and I thought that facing the Marlins several times in a row was going to be advantageous for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and it appears I was wrong. What's going on with the Diamondbacks against the Marlins?
They're losing by a lot.
They can't score.
I tweeted, because they caught up in the first game, I had tweeted something about how this team doesn't quit, and from that point on, they literally quit over the next two games and did not score a single run from the point I tweeted that out.
What's worse is that yesterday was a bullpen game for the Marlins,
yes.
And the D-backs got shut out 8-0.
Skunked.
Luke Weaver looked awful.
He really
just
did.
Just awful. He gave up 6 runs in the first 2 innings, and he didn't give up another run for the next. He pitched 4 innings.
And they didn't give up another run, right? I think that's what the score ended in. Was 6.
No, it was 8-0.
Oh, 8-0. That's
yeah, 2 late runs.
That's right.
But from the Marlins. But, like, oh, man. Like, since Luke Weaver threw that almost no-hitter against the Reds.
The gem.
The gem.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah. He's
I just made that up.
He's looked bad, man.
The beginning of the end.
He's looked bad and just...
Yeah.
It's getting to that point where it's... there's a lot of injuries right now and weird things going on around baseball, so you don't know if you could just take him out of the rotation, but... It's getting to the point where, like, I've almost seen enough from him. I don't know.
I'll say this.
I want to see Corbin Martin.
I will say this about what Bear's saying.
John Duplantier.
There is kind of, like, going to be some competition for a starting rotation spot. And I think that they're...
Between who?
Like, Taylor Widener's going to be, you know, coming back and available. And I think that that's...
Caleb Smith is pitching really well in the bullpen.
Yeah.
So they don't know if... Who knows if he gets a chance there, if he's doing really well in that role. We talked about that last time. But.
I want to back up what Bear said, though. Outside of the near no-hitter, near perfect game that he went 7 innings, old Luke Weaver has not gone more than 5 2/3 in any of his starts the rest of the season, the other 4 starts. Since that game, he has gone 4 innings, 5 innings, and 4 innings. In those starts, he's given up 4 earned runs, 4 earned runs, and 3 earned runs. And this does not... Oh, wait, there's last night's game. Another one. Sorry, it was down there. 4 earned runs, or 6 earned runs, and a 4 inning start. So, yes, he has 5 out of those 6 starts.
Here's some homework.
Have not gone 6 innings.
Here's some homework for you, Derek. We need to find out what are Luke Weaver's statistics for the season if we take out the gem, the one great game he had. I don't know how to do that. You could probably do it in Baseball Reference, but.
I mean,
I just feel like without
You're
that game,
me get my calculator.
Well, I mean, you can do it or not do it. I don't care. But my point is, he had one really good game that we were all really excited about because we thought maybe he was turning a corner, and it just doesn't look like that when you look at the evidence. And I hate to say this, but Robbie Ray has now gone 3 straight starts without walking a single batter.
Oh, stop
I don't know it. If you guys knew that.
No, I didn't, and I hate that you said it. What? Say it again.
Robbie Ray's had 3 straight starts where he didn't walk a single batter. I'm pretty sure he never did that with the Diamondbacks, even during the 2017 amazing year where he almost won the Cy Young.
That would take some extensive Baseball Reference research to see
it
if
would.
He even had a start without a walk.
It would. So I'm just guessing. But, I
Man.
Mean, seriously.
Why would you say that to me? And Derek. Derek's right there.
I'm upset.
He's not even looking at us.
I refuse to.
And the Diamondbacks gave away Robbie Ray for...
Nothing.
Travis Bergen.
But then they sent
they gave
Bergen
back.
They basically just got like $5 from the Blue Jays. I don't know how much
I didn't
money
mean to
was.
Make this about Robbie Ray, but I kind of did. It's not...
You meant to.
But again...
Don't lie.
Robbie Ray also had a really bad start to the season, so it's not like he's having a phenomenal
sure,
season.
Right,
he just
right,
had
right.
3 really good starts
right.
in a row. Anything else you guys are keeping your eyes on as the team progresses over the next couple of games? Big sigh.
Hopefully that Christian Walker can get back into the swing of things because he was out for a while.
He had it rough, too, before he got hurt.
Also, I don't want to say like you shouldn't play these guys because obviously you should. They're the better players. But when those guys were out, this team was actually playing really well.
So I'm interested to see what Torrey Lovello does with the lineups. How does he keep Paven Smith? Obviously, Cole Calhoun is out now for a while, so we're probably going to see a lot of Paven Smith in right field. But Josh Rojas has been really good. Where does he play? Does he, you know, does he and Paven Smith, because they're both left-handed hitters, so it's weird to see if they platoon in right. Who plays center? Paven Smith's probably going to play center a lot still, which I know you love, Steve.
Still don't like that. He's been hitting well. I'm okay with him as a hitter.
I'm done with my homework, Steve.
You hold on to your homework and let Cody finish.
Nick Ahmed has been still really struggling, and so I don't know if Rojas plays more short. But I mean, I'm wondering to see how Torrey still gets the guys that got them to that 15-3 mark during this weird stretch.
Cabrera
too.
That's the other thing is I think that you're going to start bringing guys back yet. There were guys that were filling in that were, especially like Rojas, that were really starting to get hot right now and just play consistently well. And, I know Lovello's not going to give anybody extended time in the lineup, so everybody's going to have a day off. Guys like, Rojas are obviously going to get a lot of fill-in playing time still. It's just that chemistry. It's that lineup. It's one of the few times where, backups and throw-ins seemed to be doing better than the starters. And a lot of the starters were a key part of that. David Peralta and Carson Kelly have easily been the biggest parts of this offense. It's just the timely hits by certain guys like Paven Smith. Even guys that aren't really doing very well, like Josh Van Meter, he's just had some timely hits that gave them the lead, or he was able to get on base. These guys are scrappy, and they're playing hard to keep playing. They want this playing time, and even though the numbers don't reflect it, you can really feel that this team as a whole is trying to make adjustments and do whatever they can during the game to win. This trip to Miami really has been the thing that so far this season has really let the air out of their balloon. I mean, they had Torrey in a TikTok dancing.
That was awesome.
It was great.
He was bad, but he tried so hard.
It doesn't matter.
And it was great.
He was showing the baseball off from his 300th win, and he was having a good time.
He said he's going to do it more, too.
Hey, that's...
Which is good.
It's, it's so weird, but to this day, I have never, felt the emotions that I felt when he was in the clubhouse giving his speech after their wild card or when they won the wild card
right
in 2018, I believe it was, right?
Is that 18 or 17?
17.
I think it was 17.
Yeah, 17. And so in that moment, it was like I saw a side of Torrey I've never seen before. Doing stuff like this gives us, the rest of us a peek at a side of Torrey that we don't get to see, but the players definitely get to see more often,
It's an interesting challenge, too, because if you play the hot hand, if you play Josh Rojas over, let's say, a Nick Ahmed, or you play Paven Smith over, let's say, Christian Walker, who are regulars in the lineup, if you decide to go that route, you also risk alienating your starting players and your core pieces.
Sure.
And that's really difficult when you're a manager like Torrey, who chooses to go with the hot hand more often than not, because... It's great that you got a lot of people who are getting a lot of opportunities, but...
No, he does not.
Really hard.
A guy will be on a 20-game hitting streak and Torrey will bench him. Are you kidding me? Torrey does not... There is no danger of Torrey not playing.
No, but when it comes to opportunity...
No, I know, and I'm with you, but I'm just saying...
I'm not saying he'll play Josh tomorrow because he's hitting well today. I'm saying Josh will continue to get opportunities despite the fact that Josh Rojas is not a starter on this team.
The one thing I like about Torrey lately is his tooling with the lineup has gone to another level this season. It's mid-game lineup tooling around. Even in the cases where we've looked at the starting lineup and made our jokes and said things about,
it's not impressive.
It's not impressive. It's not scaring anybody. He'll still change it mid-game. And he'll bring in the guys that he benched he was given a day off to come in and try to generate some offense. It's worked, too. He's brought in David Peralta mid-game. He's brought in some of these guys like Rojas, and they've made a difference.
Well, there was that story. I can't remember what publication it was in, but where Torrey said that before this season started, he kind of went to a couple different managers and teams, and one of them was Kevin Cash. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Don't take Zach Gallen out in the middle of a no-hitter. Please, just don't do it. Don't pull a Kevin Cash. But
in the World Series.
But in the terms of, hey, I have a
lineup and a team that is low payroll and we don't have a lot of stars. How do you manage this type of stuff? And I mean, that's I welcome that, besides the fact that it was Kevin Cash. But Kevin Cash has gotten the raise, to his credit, to the playoffs a lot with a low payroll and not a lot of stars and all that stuff. So, but you see it paying dividends, I think. It's kind of, the mixing and matching so far this year that I've been guilty of complaining about in the past is working this year for the most part. I mean, they're on a rough little stretch right now against the Marlins, but it's been working with guys like Pavin Smith, Josh Van Meter, who are not household prospects or household names, contributing. Wyatt Matheson was playing really well. Is, you know, it's just crazy what's been going on. But I think, even to go back to your point earlier, I think even the quote unquote star players, if you want to call them that, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, David Peralta, Eduardo Escobar, I think they know what the deal is, that, hey, I'm not going to play 160 games. I'm not going to play maybe even 155 games. I'm going to get days off. Torrey's going to mix and match based on matchups and all that. There's analytics involved with it. But I think you do have to still have to give the opportunities to Ketel Marte. Obviously, he's your best hitter when he comes back. Christian Walker is probably your biggest power bat. Escobar has turned it around since his horrible, awful start. David Peralta's been good recently, too. So I think you can't just be like, okay, David's getting 3 days off here in this series, you know. But I think it's the mixing and matching is going to continue. I'm just interested to see how it goes when hopefully everyone gets healthy soon, besides Cole Calhoun.
I think the biggest problem for the Diamondbacks is consistency. I think that they have a real problem with consistency outside of the play recently of Peralta and Kelly. I specifically mean that out of starting pitching. Like, we just had Zach Gallen, you know, throw for the second time, just the second time in his career, more than 3 earned runs up on the board in one of his starts. He talked a lot about flushing that game, and that's all you can do. You know, that no matter how good yesterday was, you can't worry about that because that's not going to carry over today, nor is how bad yesterday was. So I think baseball is a lot about that. Right now, though, you know, the Diamondbacks have very winnable games ahead of them. It's like what we were talking about with the schedule. It's rough because they just don't have, like, that starting pitcher this year that can go out there outside of Gallen and you can 100% count on. Gallen even, you know, has been inconsistent this season. So that's the part that, for Lovullo, has to be a challenge. You know, just trying to seek that consistency and trying to put out, you know, offensively, defensively, starting pitching, you know, bullpen, just whatever he can to maintain some level of consistency or have somebody that he can rely on.
Yeah, and it's always difficult to get that consistency when you do alternate players so much.
By the way, Luke Weaver, he would be 0-3 this season.
Okay.
In 5 starts.
Is that your homework?
Yeah, 8.10 ERA.
Oh. That's awful. That's atrocious. That's
8.01?
8.10.
Oh, 8.10. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's yeah. If we take out his one good start.
That's to take out the one win that he's had this season.
That's atrocious. I hate to be that guy, though, that's take out the good parts and it's bad.
No, I hear you.
Take out the bad parts and it's good.
The Diamondbacks are 3-3 outside of it. No, again, it's really, again, we wanted to see what we would get out of him after that one start. And that's what we've got out of him, unfortunately.
To me, I've said it a million times. This is, I feel like, the make or break year for Luke Weaver, man. And it's been break so far. He's only made it once. Yeah. And it was a good start. It was really good. But, I mean, and I also hate to do this, but because they're all major league hitters, but the Cincinnati Reds look like they're not a good team. They started off really well, but now they're not so good.
Shut up. Hey.
So I don't know how much stock I'm going to put in that start.
Don't retroactively take that away from him.
I think before the season, we all kind of looked at that roster and we kind of determined, like, okay, that's not that impressive.
Their lineup's good, but
it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, Moustakas has missed time.
Castellanos was suspended.
Yeah. Eugenio Suarez has been playing shortstop.
He
which
stinks.
Is weird.
And he was really
Jesse,
bad.
Yeah. Jesse Winker is leading the league in batting average, I believe.
Well, there is that.
But anyway,
I've always liked
I don't
him,
know.
Actually.
How do you guys know so much about the Reds right now? This is impressive.
We play fantasy
baseball.
We just
named
baseball.
Four oh, yeah. people who play
no,
for the Reds. Can you not do that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right.
Tucker
Joe,
Barnhart.
Joey Votto.
Tyler Stevenson.
Who has a fractured thumb.
Stop it.
Luis Castillo.
Tucker Barnhart.
Tyler Malley.
Sonny Gray.
You guys are crazy.
Let's go off the...
they are not using their phones, folks.
Those aren't real people.
Let's go off of the field now.
Aristides Aquino.
Shut up.
Big... Bear could do this all day.
I know.
Big news for the Diamondbacks coming off the field today. Well, let's start today. So there is news today that the Diamondbacks have entered into a partnership with Caesars, and they will be providing their daily fantasy sports services, let's say. They're going to build a mobile app where you can bet on games basically in the stadium or anywhere that you are. And also, within that, they are also going to be building a sports book.
What a world we live in,
at Chase
Steven.
Field. Now, it might not be in Chase Field because my understanding is...
It can't be in Chase
MLB
Field.
MLB says you can't have a sports book in the stadium.
Thus why it disqualifies Friday's Front Row, which is currently
right.
available to be a prime location for a sports book.
Or something.
Or
that could
something.
Just be a really cool like sports bar.
Well,
it was already,
it
technically.
Was, yeah.
But like,
that's what it was. Well,
except nobody went there.
From my
better,
understanding,
better.
Oddly enough.
Bring the potato skins back.
I saw more than one person say that it's been rumored it's going to be a hotel like what Toronto did.
They could do that. Yeah, I could
okay.
see it.
Supposedly,
they're looking at the Game 7 Grill building,
yes.
where it's two stories.
They have a broadcast studio in
which they
Game
could either
grill.
Eliminate or they could build off of.
Well,
one
I
or
think,
the other.
I think for a sports book that's going to have a sports bar and stuff, it would
good idea.
Be a really good idea to have it there. I mean,
we should be doing the podcast
from
there.
We should be doing
every
the podcast
week.
From there. That should be our home.
Hint. Wink, wink. So that's something that's coming up.
Make sure to tag them in our tweet later.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of feels like the future of sports, right? I mean, you're going to have a sports book at most stadiums. You're going to be able to bet on games during games.
Since the governor signed that bill, there's been the Diamondbacks have done this. The Suns, I believe, have done something with sports betting.
Yeah.
TPC, I think, is doing something.
TPC's building a sports book in Scottsdale.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's flying.
The Cardinals will do this.
Oh, sure.
The Coyotes will do this.
Football is going to be...
Everyone's going to do this.
Once the NFL gets in with this here, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Cardinals are knocking on the door.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Roger, hello. We have money that we want to give you.
The end of mankind right here.
That's the only way he'll answer the door.
It's just so weird that
Roger,
a sport that still feels so high and mighty about banning Pete Rose wants to now just fully embrace sports.
Oh, my
betting.
Gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, yeah, are we going to have to let him
We're
going
to have to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. I knew it was going to happen eventually. Let's get him out.
Hey,
of,
Pete.
Let's get him out of the Las Vegas Mall.
Hey, Pete.
He's
it's
hanging out
it's
in the
Rob.
Las Vegas Mall's way
it's too. Rob.
We're sorry.
We love you, Pete.
You want to...
We were wrong.
That speech that he'd make. Oh.
And what team did Pete Rose play for?
Oh, man. This is disgusting.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, Joe Morgan.
That one I know.
Okay, now you're just naming
Johnny Bench.
Any Reds. Come on. The other thing that came out of the press
Barry
releases
Larkin.
For the Diamondbacks recently, they will be removing...
Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, my God.
Adam Dunn.
I can't do anything. Why do I hang out with you guys?
I don't know.
No more seating restrictions at Chase Field,
it's
and I
done.
Think that comes down here in a couple of days.
As
though.
Of May 25th.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks, I guess. But they're going to be lifting restrictions. Listen, they've been at, what, 20,000 people is their limit?
Yes.
And they haven't been reaching anywhere close to that.
I think opening it up to whatever the maximum is, it's too many, let's be honest. It's like 48,000 or
plus,
something.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're not going to be filling the stadium. And I'm not making a comment about how they're not a good team or the fan base is bad or whatever. I'm just saying it's not going to happen.
At one of the games I was at, it had 6,800 people at it.
Yeah. It's just not going to be full.
Well, those weekday, Tuesday home games, you know, are not going to draw.
No.
They're
never do.
Not. I mean, it's just how it's always been.
Unless the Dodgers are in town.
Sure. Or like. The Yankees or the Cubs or something like that too.
I looked back at 2019, their attendance numbers in 2019 because that was the last regular season that we had.
Sure.
2020 was weird, and nobody was in the stands. their top six attendance games were all against the Dodgers.
Right.
Four of those were in L.A. So their two top home game attendance numbers were against the Dodgers, and they were
Dodger fans.
They were both over 50,000 people too.
Wow,
which is crazy. But you're not going to get that during a pandemic because the pandemic is still going on.
I think the most people I've seen in that ballpark where I've been in it in a regular season game. Obviously, the 2017 wild card game was sold out.
Yeah,
but I can't even remember what year it was. But they randomly played the Boston Red Sox. And it was Randy Johnson, his second go around here. It was Randy Johnson versus Daisuke Matsuzaka. And
what a matchup.
The D-backs won. Randy Johnson was actually pretty good. I remember who hit the ball, but he hit it to Manny Ramirez, and that was really fun trying to watch him field
anytime double, the ball went his direction. Like, Manny! What's he gonna do?
It's a triple.
That was, and
I think they announced their attendance was like 50,000 or something like that at that time. I don't know.
But that doesn't happen a lot anymore.
No.
I guess I would want to ask you guys, would you feel safe going and sitting in a Dodgers game? Let's say not.
Packed D-backs game.
Just a packed.
I would still obviously wear my mask. I've been fully vaccinated.
You're technically still supposed to.
I know. It's still a mandate, but.
It's an MLB rule, I think.
The enforcement is kind of.
Iffy
on, you know, it's not, it's, it, it, I guess it depends on the usher in your section.
We saw a whole lot of those people who was on their first date there in that night.
Well, why would
we, I had to get it.
Why did you bring that up?
I know we talked.
We agreed.
We weren't going to talk about
we all said we weren't going to talk about the stupid date.
It was just a reference. It was just a reference.
But
they're on date three, by the way.
I'm still, like, I literally watched a video of, like, a live performance of a concert last night. And like even I'm still at the point where seeing crowds like that, I'm go, huh, that's weird.
That's wild.
So like the NFL draft last week.
Oh yeah.
Where you're like, wow, that's definitely more than 10,000 people.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I don't know if I would be yet. I'm getting there, but I don't know. Like
I'd be fine with going. I don't know about going to a Dodger game.
Well,
for multiple reasons. Chief among them, you know, a lot of people packed into the stadium. But
duly noted.
But more likely because I hate the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend any time with those people.
Yeah. All right.
And we're probably going to lose.
All right.
Well, they don't want to spend any time with you either.
Yeah, I know. But
Dodgers have their own issues
right
now with injuries.
Dodger Stadium is a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah, because it really is one
it's
of the
old.
Few that feels like an old school ballpark.
It's old. It's in the ravine, so it's cool.
I don't even feel like Fenway feels that way anymore because of how much they've renovated it. How much
I've never been there.
Extra
I need
seats.
To go.
Fenway feels like a weird like like a clubhouse a kid made.
Yeah, and like
that's
it does.
Rickety and
it does,
like
yeah.
has no business being allowed
like,
by fire marshals.
You're like, why are the seats like only? Why is the section above me only 10 feet above my head? You're like, shouldn't it be like 30
it's
feet
like,
up there?
It's like Wrigley.
Yeah,
Wrigley's
it's very
that way too.
Small and compact. Yeah, it's weird. Their attendance numbers in Boston. I mean, they still get a ton of fans, but they don't seat as many as contemporary stadiums do.
Yeah.
Because it's so old, and because it was built in,
that's why they try to
the 1700s
get them in any way they can, including like being on the roof of the building across the street.
Right? You'd rather watch the game from there anyway.
They bought those roofs.
I know they
sell tickets to them.
I know they do.
It's hilarious. Oh my gosh!
Anything else we want to clear up before we finish the podcast today?
Tyler Naquin is a Cincinnati Red.
Oh my god! You're still going. Sean Doolittle.
Jonathan India is their rookie second baseman.
I mean, I wrote it.
Sean Doolittle, yeah. Amir Garrett
remember their
likes to fight people.
Steve, quick, wrap it up. I mean, we got to end this.
All right, we're going to stop naming Cincinnati Reds, and we are a Diamondbacks podcast. We think we're the best one, but we're kind of biased.
Nick Castellanos.
Maybe we'll become a Cincinnati Reds.
Already said him.
There's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos.
That's a great reference. Joey Votto.
Derek said that one.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That's the only one he could do.
I'm not good enough.
I did Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not good enough, apparently. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. It's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher.
Did I say Barry Larkin?
Nick Senzel?
I said that already.
Did I say Barry Larkin? Barry Larkin.
Luis Castillo.
said that already.
We thank you so much for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast, which is supposed to be about the Diamondbacks, but we really missed our mark.
We started off today talking about Albert Pujols, sir.
You've been listening to the podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.
Kyle Farmer.
Yes!